Saram, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Vahini Satsang. Every time you hear the word Vahini, such a beautiful feeling erupts in your heart. I feel there is something about the name itself. Vahini means a stream. Vahini means virtue. Vahini means vibrancy. Vahini means victory. Everything that we are reading, contemplating on is to make our lives vibrant and lead us to victory. We are now in Sandeha Nivarini, chapter 4, the last few episodes. As we were going through chapter 3, so many beautiful concepts which are profound, which are the basis of Indian spiritual thought, surfaced. And in the previous conversation, Bhagwan tells the Bhakta, the Bhagwan who acts as Bhagwan and the Bhagwan who acts as Bhakta, tells the Bhakta that in the next session I will tell you more about Chit. What is Chit? So we move on from there. That is the beginning of chapter 4. And like in previous episodes of this program, Bhagwan has sent two brothers to join us in this satsang. Brother Bhargav, who has been with us for so many episodes, who works for the administrative block of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. And we also have Brother Srinivas Rao from the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences, both of them former students of Bhagwan's college. So let's move on and listen to the first part of chapter 4. And then we'll pray to him to guide our thoughts.
Oh, you have come. I was watching for long whether you have come. I know you are punctual. Glad to see you.
Swami, will I ever disobey you? In fact, as per your command, I am eagerly looking forward to the 16th of every month to come and see you. What other greater happiness and sustenance do I need?
Very good, my dear one. Such Shraddha and Bhakti are great aids to man while walking on the right path. Better than losing food and sleep in the fruitless pursuit of evanescent worldly matters, how much more joyful it is to strive for the attainment of that which is true, meaningful and sacred. Instead of clouding your mind with many things which could become hindrances on the path, ask now what you want to know. Let us see.
Swami, last month you said something about Chit and you were pleased to say that you will explain more about it this month. Since then, I have been counting the passing days in order that I may know about this from you. The day has come at last. Please tell me about it.
Have you understood what has been told so far? Understanding does not mean knowing things by heart. By practice and experience, have you realized in thought, word and deed, and with full equanimity, that the world indeed is unreal?
It is only by understanding this that one can give up all other activities, duties and thoughts, and be ever immersed in the contemplation of Sai, the Lord. Isn't it, Swami? Had I not understood that much, even I would have been a slave to worldly sufferings and wasted my precious time. To understand this is also your grace, not my effort at all.
Good, my dear boy. How sad will the farmer be if the seeds he has planted do not sprout and yield harvest? So too, if the seeds of true wisdom that I sow do not come up as good saplings and result in a harvest of joy, I too feel similar pain. On the other hand, if they grow well and fructify into a harvest of ananda, how happy I would be. That is my food. This is the seva you should do to me. There is nothing higher than this in this world. Without flinging away the good and true messages that I said for your sake, if you practice them and derive joy therefrom, the essence of that joy is the essence of my food. Thus, if you act according to my words and put them into practice, I will gladly tell you more, no matter how many more things you ask. When what is said is allowed to deteriorate without being put to use, if people come and ask me to speak again and again, then what is to be said? If all start practicing as you are doing, the world will not have any troubles, untruth will not manifest itself.
Swami, to even practice the divine words too, the Lord's grace is the basis, just as it is for everything else. Without that, nothing can happen. As you have said, the grace is ever present. Just as the sun is hidden by clouds, grace can be obstructed by the dark clouds of eye and mind. But these can be cleared by practice and discipline. That is why, if we understand well the meaning of what we hear and then follow, it surely becomes easy. This is my experience. I do not know of others.
True, true. What you say is correct. You have understood it well. Without grasping the meaning, if various interpretations are given, that distorts reality. Therefore, when you understand with full clarity, practice becomes easy. However, are all born at the same time? Do all die at the same time? Similarly, the highest wisdom will dawn and ignorance will disappear at different times for different people. If you continue to sing again and again, you will learn the song. So also, if I continue to speak, the reality will be understood by all. Even if people are not understanding, it is not my mission to be silent. To such, it must be communicated once, twice, and if necessary, more number of times.
So, even before Bhagwan begins to explain about Chit, Swami is again and again insisting that, have you digested what I have already given you? Have you made use of what I have already served you? And the most beautiful thing here is, Swami is saying, see, when you practice and you derive joy from what I have said, after having translated that into action in your life, that becomes my food. Mm-hmm. I think that is such a powerful statement, and it's such a sweet feeling. You know, we always think, what can we do for the Lord? What can we do for the Lord? The Lord has done so much for us. And every time Swami would just say that, you be happy. So here also Swami is saying, you derive joy because I am giving the secrets, and I am serving it. So only if you consume that and you translate that and you benefit from it, that is my food.
And he is saying, do this service for me.
Do this service.
Otherwise, yeah. I go hungry.
Yes. Wow. I mean, whether we offer in our altar the lunch, breakfast and dinner, which happens in many homes, right? After you cook, the mother first offers it to Bhagwan in the altar. Many people feel, okay, first we should give it to Swami. That is nice. It's a nice sacred feeling, offering everything that we are cooking. But what he really wants us to offer, and which will really be nourishing, as Swami says, which will become the essence of his food, Swami says.
Repeatedly, Swami says, your happiness is my happiness.
My happiness, yes.
We don't really understand the purport of it.
Yes.
How much it meant for him.
Absolutely. Yes.
Definitely it helps us. But
How much? Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean.
Yes, come for that.
Correct. Apart from it.
You practice what I say, untruth will not manifest.
Will not manifest itself.
He is concerned more about that.
Yes. Absolutely.
Correct. Yeah, just to. There's a lot of very, very significant, profound statements in this. Anyway, sorry. The first thing which you actually, when you sent it to me, the first thing which struck me was punctuality.
Yeah.
Swami says, that is something which is like a love-hate relationship with me.
Okay.
Because you really hit me with that. I just, because right from my school days, I want to confess that, you know, in school, you whenever you reach school, there'll be a short bell and a long bell. Generally, we used to have. So short bell is you should be ready, you should be there. Long bell means start the prayer.
Yes.
So just before the long bell only, I always used to manage to reach. So always that late comer type of thing. And sometimes I'll be in the late comers line and all.
Mm-hmm.
So this has been my experience in the school and the previous college. But when I came here, I saw a big change in me. Mm-hmm. Because here, you run for darshan. You cannot, what stops you from going to further session? It's like the...
You are actually there much before time.
Much before time. Like Swami is coming in 2 minutes, so you will be at 145, 150, right?
Yes.
You rush and go. So, once you come here, basically, once God becomes the center of your life and of your universe, everything falls in place. Because Swami was the center of our life here, even my college prayer or whatever, I was very, very prompt and... You won't believe, even I was very prompt for the morning suprabhatam also. 5:30. Generally, it's very difficult to go, get up and go. So what I was thinking, like, I mean, always, I know, if you ask my father, he'll say, always he'll take me and always he'll stand with me because I know I'll be late for the school. But here when I came, it was not like that at all. It was very, very special because Swami was the center of our life. But I have to confess one more thing. In the last 3-4 years, I go for Vedam in the morning. 8 o'clock is the Vedam. So, I've noticed that in place of 8, I reach 8:02, 8:03, 8:05. So, that was, I was trying to notice it. And then casually I went to hostel one day, our seniors boys hostel. I didn't know that there is a small box with Swami's cards and beautiful Swami's photo and Vibhuti. So, one day, that particular day I just went and then someone told me, see, this nice cards, you want some message from Swami, you can take it. Okay, fine, let me try. That moment when I went there and I was trying to pick up, I don't know, this thing about this time thing, somehow that thought crossed my mind. They told, okay, nothing, just pray to Swami, bow down to him, put a small pinch of vibhuti in your mouth and pray and then pick up. So when I did that and I picked up, the message was, be punctual. like Swami is watching. He has seen that you have become punctual, but now you are not. So that's what he is always.
No more
there.
8:02, 8:03. You have to be much before 8.
Should be 8 or before 8.
Bishu brother started saying that instead of directly going to the chit, explanation of chit, which he promised in the last chapter. Swami started asking about, oh, very nice to see you.
See you that you are there.
Yeah, so punctuality, even it struck me also. Yes, Swami is now raising the issue of punctuality, practicing what you have heard and learned before. All these things are first preconditions to know what you wanted to hear about chit, etc.
You want to learn about spiritual concept, but these are the basic
important things, as you said, in our life also here. The whole thing, Swami actually notices all these things also, and Swami wants you to be punctual and on time for everything. I will give you one beautiful instance. How Swami observes the students in what they are doing. There were a few students to whom Swami was talking very regularly. And it's natural that there will be others who will be wondering, what is it so special about them that Swami talks to them every day and not to others or us? So, but over a period of time when this doubts built up, I think Swami felt it's time to answer
this question.
So then one day he said, you may be wondering why I talk to these boys. Few names he had mentioned, I will not take now. Then he said, this particular boy always gets up on time as soon as the Suprabhatam bell rings up.
Mm-hmm.
And he sits up on his bed and does the Suprabhatam. Even without brushing or anything, he is not bothered. In whatever state he is in, he is up on his bed. I like that. And
wow.
Another boy, he said, this boy always, wherever he is, even in a hotel, outside hotel also, he will do Brahmarpanam before he eats.
Beautiful.
Mm. Wow.
And another student he talked about, he said, this boy, wherever he may be at all, on every day, before going to bed, he will do the Karacharana Kritam Vak prayer and he will meditate for some time and then only go to bed. See, these are the things I look into and I appreciate and I reward them for that.
Wow.
So punctuality, Swami observes all of us also, whether we are, how we are seated, whether we are in, he always likes to see us in one place. Not that it's a reservation or anything, but still, that shows a lot of steadiness also.
Mm.
You just don't scatter yourself here and there, but come steady. What is the purpose of coming for darshan? To derive full benefit, you need to be still in one place. Don't be distracted. And he says, sit straight. These are all very important things for us to imbibe what is going to be given to us. That's what I thought.
Just to add,
tell about this.
No, punctuality is not yet over. Because when you sent it to me, it hit me first. Rather than me telling something, I had to first say, my God, before this, tomorrow morning, I should be there by 7:55. That's what hit me first. So, I remember one nice incident. You know, there's one Karnataka youth by name, brother by name Vinay.
Yes.
He was instrumental in our Atirudra Mahayagyam also.
Yes.
So once he gave a talk in our auditorium. So there is an incident where he is in Bangalore and Swami sends word that you come immediately, there is some work for you. So he was about to start and it was one particular day in the week where Rahu Kalam was exactly that time it was falling. So he said, oh my God, Swami is calling, but Swami also follows his Rahu Kalam thing. So let me wait for one hour something and then I'll start. So he waits for 1 hour and then he takes his car and starts and comes to Parthi. So when he was supposed to come, by the time Swami comes for darshan, he didn't come. By the time he came, darshan was over and Swami is actually going back after bhajan. So he came and sat in the front and it seems he is narrating that he sees Swami, Swami, I have come. Swami says, for what? Swami, Swami, you had called me. Then Swami told, it seems, that I called you that time, not now. When I call, that is the most important thing in your life. You have to do it immediately. Swami Rahuk. When God calls you or you have to do a God's work, Swami told this. It's not about Swami calling you, so only that. If you are doing a work of God or if you are doing a work as worship or if you are offering something as an offering to God, there is no Rahukalam. There is no good time or bad time.
Absolutely.
So he told this a big, very, very big message for me that Swami is very, very particular about punctuality. So today when this thing, oh, you have come, good. Mm. I'm happy that you are punctual. That really hit me when Swami told that.
Swami himself was very punctual.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
See the times he appears on time, a few minutes before for the discourses, for the bhajans.
Oh, yes.
What not, and never late nights.
Oh, yes.
nothing goes beyond a particular set time. Even all his bhajans and programs also.
In fact, for any program, if you see, whatever time the program is scheduled, he would be ready like 2-3 hours and he'll be waiting actually.
Yes.
Constantly seeing, have the devotees come, the devotees come.
Mm-hmm.
And constantly inquiring, the arrangements have been made, And he's someone, I saw that at a very close quarters in Kodaikanal, Swami, the devotees, Swami would go for darshan probably 8:39, but he would be up, right from 5:30, he'll keep seeing, have the devotees come, I was waiting for long whether you have come.
In Kodaikanal only once it so happened for 3 o'clock, Swami was with us having a tea and we were having tea with Swami. Swami was seated with us. Then soon after we settled to around Swami. Then first thing Swami's mind was on the devotees. He asked me, just peep and see through the window if they have assembled already.
Wow.
So actually before he wants to spend time with us, he says that I would like to see the devotees first. Even morning times also, as
yes,
you know,
yes.
He says, you go for a walk.
Mm.
In the meantime, I will finish my duty.
Yes. Yes.
So, very, very particular. And I can tell so many instances like this. When he goes to the hostel also, you know, this is now, hostel is very, very open-ended session. It depends on how the student's receptivity is on that given day. Suddenly, Swami says, I am going to be here for some time. But suddenly, he decides to stay on beyond a certain time. At that time, he is very concerned about the bhajan that is going on in the
yes. mandir.
Mm. So, he will make it a point immediately. When he decides to stay on for a little longer while, he will send word through the person there that they can give arati.
Yes, need
otherwise,
not wait for
he will
me.
Immediately tell the students, no, I have to go for arati.
Yes.
Even if there is a little delay. But Swami comes back and people look forward to it.
Yes.
It's a wonderful lesson to know on punctuality.
No, I think there is no end to this. I got one more, remember one more incident about punctuality, because Swami was the embodiment of punctuality, like I can see. Once I remember, it was in the month of December or January, it was very cold. So what Swami told, again for the sake of devotees, Swami told, see, he got Anil Kumar sir announced, get this announced that I won't come at 6:30 for darshan, I will come by 7:30 because 6:30 means devotees will start coming and assembling at 5 o'clock. It will be too very, very cold. So I'll start coming at 7:30. Then what happened that that day when he announced that next day morning this darshan will be rescheduled at 7:30 or something, that day Swami realized that even after telling all that, devotees are still lined up at 4:30. They're trying to come inside at 5 o'clock. They're standing outside. What's the point? So he promptly came at the same 6:30 again. We were like, Swami is going to come late. We'll have breakfast. And when we realized that Swami already came at 6:30. Why? Because devotees are already seated there.
Yes.
He thought that for devotees' sake, I will change it. I will postpone it by 1 hour. But when he saw that devotees are anyway, the same devotion, same intensity is still there, he came back to 6:30 and it continued after that.
See, why we are discussing about all this, instances of Swami being punctual, all these examples, is because whatever Swami has written here is what is lived by.
Yes, sir.
So everything, every moment, every word, we can think of so many instances. Like in here also, he's saying that on the behalf of Bhakta, he is telling, on the 16th of every month, I make it a point to come here, Swami.
Mm.
And Swami does not fail to note that.
Yes.
What else am I here for?
Yes.
I am here only for, you know, this only gives me the bliss and ananda. I remember Mr. Raman Rao Garu was there. He was the leader of the Sevadals and all that. So every festival time he would be here. Though he was working in Hyderabad. So he was telling once that I always go to my boss with an application, leave application. And there are occasions when he had said, not possible. I cannot grant you leave. And then he handed a resignation letter.
Always ready.
Always he had it in his pocket, he says. So the boss was taken aback. Oh my God. He said, either you give me leave or I take leave of this job itself.
But I will not compromise on the work at Prashanti.
And as soon as you come, you are immediately, Swami inquires, when did you come? See, what else is the reward? Just to be talked to by Swami.
Notice that you are here.
When you come also, when you return is not again your choice. There are devotees who will, when Swami asks, when are you going back? They say, Swami, whenever you say.
Yes.
Mereppudu chepte appudu, mereppudu aagnyiste appudu. So this is how people were also, the devotees were also, for Swami, waiting for his instructions always.
Yes.
When to come, when to go.
Absolutely.
And one more, just moving on from, it will be like unending, punctuality, like Swami and punctuality, like so many things will come. But the next one which it really struck me was, one is he's talking about Shraddha Bhakti, he's talking about practice, he's talking about experience.
Yes.
But one place is very nice that he says, very good, you all come, fine, you understood all this, let me see. There's one place he says, let us see. So it has many meanings. Oh, let us see what you really know. So, when I read that, it was a very, very, very profound, very sweet experience. I remember, Swami called few of us for interview, and one of the boys had a letter in his hand. And he was trying to ask Swami, like, something. And before that also, previous to that, some 10, 15 days, he was going through something, he wanted to ask something, some burning question inside or whatever. So that day, he got this, Swami will create the situation that he just got that one point, we call it 1.1, means just in front of Swami, yes, exactly at his feet he was sitting. And then Swami started, oh, what you done? Oh, MBA, okay, where are you from? What was your father doing? What is your, he just passed out from MBA. So what are your plans? What are you going to do? How much you got in MBA? What is your grade? He's asking all sorts of things which under the sky, other than looks like, we were trying to, he's trying to tell something, and Swami is not bothered about the question which he's asking. He's talking about everything else other than the question. So then, this boy is trying to get up and trying to ask Swami, trying to get the letter. Swami is not seeing the letter at all. Then, after some time, he got up. There was a slight bit of silence in the middle. And then Swami continues his same thing about this, all this. But this boy looked very, very satisfied after that particular pause. So when we came out, we asked him, actually, what happened? He told, I had a very, very burning personal question. I had something, wanted to ask Swami. Swami was not giving me an opportunity to even put it up, even take the letter. Then, and it has been happening for the past 1 week, 10 days. So that intensity of that question or whatever, that query was increasing. So that particular point in the interview room, what happened was, he was trying to ask Swami, but Swami was not trying to respond to him at all. He was talking everything else other than the question. So he thinks in his mind, he prays to Swami, Swami, I know that you're trying to avoid because you feel that I'm not got the deservedness to get this answer from you. But still, like he's telling, he narrated it to us outside. Swami, if my query and my question is very genuine, and if your answer is yes, please say yes. And he says, you won't believe. Swami was, it's a torrent. Swami was talking continuously to everyone. And then we only heard the pause. Swami pauses. He just say, He says it so softly that only this boy is able to hear. And that happens as soon as that thought ends in his mind. Swami, if the answer to my question is yes, please say yes. It ends. Swami stops his torrent, says, and continues.
Wow.
So, no one understood what happened. But he got the answer from Swami. Means this, Swami always waits for that intensity and that yearning from you. And might be that was the point where it touched the acme. Once that happened, Swami responded. And he was very happy, very satisfied after that. So let us see, let me see how much you have gone through. How much?
I think Shraddha is such an important virtue when it comes to walking on the spiritual path, the earnestness. I think Shri Baba, you should talk about Shraddha, Saburi. And in fact, I was reading one discourse where Swami says, Shraddha, earnestness is like Mother Bhavani. It is like Parvati. It represents Ichha Shakti, Kriya Shakti and Jnana Shakti. Means if you have that earnestness, as you said, what is devotion? It starts with yearning for the divine. Spirituality, you have to have that deep interest, intensity of interest. That is so important. Because once that intensity is there, then automatically Ichha Shakti will manifest, willpower, Kriya Shakti, the power to act, Jnana Shakti, the power of wisdom. All that will manifest only when there is that earnestness. Shraddhavan lavate jnanam. As it is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita.
So beautiful.
So, Swami says, that represents Shakti. So that Shakti is what is Mother Bhavani. And Swami says, along with this, you have Vishwas, faith.
Yes.
And faith is Ishwaratvam. Vishwasa is Ishwaratvam. That is the divine. That is Shiva. So, what is the Shiva Shakti principle? It is Shraddha and Vishwas.
Correct.
You have faith and earnestness.
Amazing. Mm.
That is what is Bhavani and Ishwara. That is what is Shiva and Shakti, Swami says.
Even the understanding of all this comes from grace only.
Grace, yeah.
Without that, even we cannot get full benefit of
oh,
this.
Yes. Oh, yes. I think that is also mentioned here.
But that's also a double-edged sword, because I remember, yes, if you say, Swami, everything is your grace, you take care, Swami will come very heavily on you. I remember once, I think before Shivratri or something, one day he called one of the boys and told, you give a speech. So he started, I remember that boy used to start with that very, with humility and love, I offer myself at the lotus feet of Mother Sai. Then he starts like that, and then he says, Swami, everything is you. Why I need, I remember that, that speech, he just, very informal speech in front of boys. What is there for us to do, Swami? Everything is you. You, everything, we just offer everything to you. You are the one who is going to do. Everything is your grace. Our effort also is your grace. We will put effort only when you will. So all that he told, and he told, my God, just, I all clapped. When he, then, you know, after the speech, you go to Swami and take his blessings. He told, Swami is very happy. Swami was very, very wild with him.
Oh.
Very angry. Mm-hmm. What did you speak? You mean what? There is no responsibility of yours at all. You mean only everything I have to do. What will you do then?
Yeah.
So here might be the bhakta is really genuine, that he might have, he has done his homework. Because Swami only knows. He has done his homework and Swami is happy. If you say, no Swami, everything is you only, your grace only. Swami says, is it like that? No, it is your effort. You put effort, automatically grace will come.
I think that was also mentioned in the previous episode. It ended with that.
Correct.
Chapter 3, where Swami says that you human effort is absolutely essential.
Yes.
And once you do that, God's grace will come.
Mm-hmm. So might be, I think, this bhakta has done his homework.
Huh. Yes. No, but the bhakta, see, we can put our effort.
Mm.
There is no two thoughts about it. We have to put our efforts. But at the end of it, as the bhakta is saying, to understand this also is your gaze, yes, not my effort. But the bhakta should obviously say that it is not, yes, my effort, because for us also to put that effort, it is his grace.
Yes, correct.
So there is no excuse for not putting your effort. But you have put that effort, that is also is his grace.
Mm.
I think to have that understanding, to have that sense of nothingness, I think is very important.
See, as we were discussing just before the session started, that what I find it most, what I'm paying more attention is to what the bhakta is saying. Because it is Swami himself who is saying as,
yes,
bhakta.
Yes.
And when Swami is saying that your grace alone is important for me to benefit from this, it means it is grace alone that,
yes,
is required, essential,
yes,
for that. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the other thing that thought that came to me as we were discussing earlier is, you know, we discussed about punctuality, we discussed about earnestness, and I think here, even though the chapter is short, where Bhagwan has explained later on the meaning of chit, but so much of the chapter is all about all these seemingly not central to the topic ideas that Bhagwan is talking here.
Mm-hmm.
And what occurred to me is, when we pursue a worldly goal, for example, you know, you want to finish with a first class in your high school, or you want to get a high GPA in your graduation, you want to complete your PhD, you know, for any of these kind of worldly achievements, you want to have your, buy a car, buy a house, you have to put in a lot of effort. You have to put in a lot of your energies. And even there, unless you put in some discipline, you can't achieve these goals. Even you want to professionally excel in your work, no, if you have to really deliver, if your deliverables are great, then definitely you got to have some discipline in you. Only then can you really perform.
Mm-hmm.
If you are constantly in a muddled mind state, obviously you cannot perform to your potential.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm feeling that when for worldly goals itself, so much of mental preparation is needed for worldly goals, yeah. Just for buying a car, just for excelling in your job, just for ensuring that, you know, you deliver things to your boss in time, just so that, ensuring that, you know, you complete your PhD in time. So these are seemingly not that fantastic goals when it comes to what the true goal of life is. But even for these things itself, when you have to really put in so much, and that is what we struggle all the time. I think 90% of the world is, there are enough number of self-help books written and every person giving talks about all these things only. You know, yeah, you want to achieve your goal because everybody wants to know, how can I build my car, build my house, how will I get my car?
Even the successful ones are not successful for nothing.
Yes, exactly.
They have put in, say, very, very huge efforts.
Yes, in fact.
So then they're very proud of it also.
Yes.
You can see that those who succeed have put in the effort.
They have put in the effort. I mean, there is some discipline. Yeah. They have brought in some discipline. They have brought in some aspects in their personalities which are right. definitely worthy of being emulated.
Correct.
That's why I remember Swami also used to say it often, you know, that if only they, we know these people can put, show this much interest towards God, as much as they show towards the world, they will achieve much more.
Much more. So exactly. So that's what I was feeling. The reason why Swami is mentioning about all this, when for worldly goals itself, you know, all these are basic things. It is so necessary. Now you are, this is something.
See, Swami is asking here, have you understood this world is unreal?
Unreal.
Fruitless pursuit of evanescent worldly matters.
Worldly
matters.
So that's what Swami is telling. See, I am so happy here. Swami is telling, I am so happy that, you know, you are interested in something permanent. Because most of the time people spend all their life almost after spending 50, 60, 70% of your life chasing goals which are not adding serious meaning to your life. After that you realize, oh my God, what was I doing all my life?
All our 7 days of stay at Kodaikanal, Swami talked on only one theme. Nothing is everything, and everything is nothing. And it didn't mean so much for us because we are also young minds, more leaning towards the world. So, but Swami made it very clear that what it means is everything is nothing. Everything that everything that you say is the world, which is everything, is actually nothing.
There is actually nothing.
And what you say is nothing, that is God, is in fact everything. this itself he wanted to drive into us.
Wow.
All through those 7 days. Wonderful lectures were there.
Wow. Day. Fantastic. So this what, so here Swami, I think this is also perhaps an experiential learning, and this becomes a moment of joy once you walk on the path, wherein you will see that if you make any effort on the spiritual front, you make a lot of effort on the material front, you know, because you're in the family, I want my son to pass with a high rank, I want my daughter to get married, I want my husband to get a promotion. So all those things keep happening all the time. And we spend so much time, energy praying for these things. And what I felt is when you ask God for these things, yes, wherever appropriate, whenever it is good for us, you know, he will definitely go and fulfill those wishes and prayers of ours. But when you ask for what he really wants to give, as Swami says now, when you ask something real, which is really something which will take you a step higher
towards God,
towards God, I think the eagerness with which he is willing to hold a hand is so much more. You will actually feel it. You will actually see it. Because you will feel that grace. You will feel that energy. You will feel his support in such big measure, actually.
And then again, just again, the next thought which I was, as you're telling that, again, when you say that we have to do practice, we have to do the Shraddha and the Bhakti both, So I just I got a thought about, I remember in the school days we used to read, used to have Subhashitani, the small shlokas in Sanskrit. Very apt shloka, because our whole thing about this is Vidya. Vidya means how to remove the darkness. So I remember it is a very, very small, sweet shloka. It talks about how you take lessons from nature and then put into practice and then get your lessons out of it. So the shloka goes like, Kaka Cheshta, Bako Dhyanam, Shwanidra, Tathayvacha, Alpahari, Gruhatyagi, Vidyarthi, Panchalakshanam. So, like what Swami here says, practice experience, practice, practice.
Yes.
So, Swami also says that the whole universe, the whole nature is nothing but my image, my reflection.
Yes.
So, I was just reflecting on that. See, Kaka Cheshta, again, amazing. You told us tenacity, you should practice, have that thing to pursue and then have the intensity. So, if you see a crow, if it thinks that I'll pick up this or I want this, by hook or crook, it'll come and it will never leave the effort to do the thing which is already planned or already decided to do. So that is the Kaka Cheshta. That means you should never have a goal. Don't go away from it.
Don't give up. Keep striving.
Keep striving, yes. Hmm. Second is Bako Dhyanam. Actually, Bako Dhyanam, we say, is Swami says Konga Japa, means it is artificial. But actually what they say is, when it tries to catch a fish, it'll stand on one leg, stand erect and
still
without even a small movement, because
grain,
yeah, grain,
ripple.
Because if it moves little bit also, the fish will know that this is not a rod, this is not a stick or something, this is something
moving.
Mm-hmm.
So it stands still and without a movement. So like it's a Bako Dhyanam. It's actually meditating. So when the movement comes,
the grain is still.
No, the only one leg.
Only
on one leg, not two legs. Like a yogi standing on one leg and doing tapas. He's standing on
the
one
crane.
Leg. And then just trying to be still. So the poor fish will come and think it's only a stick. He'll go around it, he'll catch it. So that's the one thing. And third, I think you would have seen dogs, there are so many dogs. Shwana Nidra means our sleep should be like a dog.
Yes.
If you do a small like this, he'll get up.
Very light sleeper.
Yeah. Very, very light sleeper. So, Vidyarthi should be like this. That Cheshta should be there.
Striving.
That one-pointedness should be there. Means to achieve your goal of Shraddha and practice. Third is Shwana Nidra. Means, should not be like Swami Somberlu. Swami says Somberlu Andaru. Means
not
all
sleep and snore and like be very tamasic. Yeah.
Like these two, three very, very pet words are Pakoda. Somberi means eat and sleep. That's all you do. Swami Ambarish like that. So Shwana Nidra is, you should be so alert even in your sleep. Even a small sound comes, you get up. That's what means alertness. And then Alpahari, again, don't be a Pakoda like Swami says.
Like if you eat well.
We are just opposite of whatever you are. As a student, we are so lazy, we'll sleep long and no attention, we're fickle-minded, everything. But these
but, that, but those are the qualities of Vidyarthi. I think that's what Swami wanted us to instill. But I think
we need not be disheartened actually.
No, but one thing Swami used to follow, Gruhatyagi. We were all with Swami in the hospital.
No, every little effort actually pays huge dividends. And Swami also says, no, that once you practice and you get your results, he used to say in Telugu two words, vaste podu, pote radu. So vaste podu, that is spirituality.
Wisdom.
Once it comes, it doesn't go.
It doesn't go
back. It doesn't go back. Pote radu, the worldliness that goes out of you, once it goes out of you, doesn't return. So these are the two assurances he is giving. So we needn't be disheartened that, you know, all my efforts are not. But we have to just have that earnestness and bhakti.
But I think,
gives clues.
Especially when Bhagavan was there in the physical form, I felt that darshan ground was one area when all of these disciplines,
you automatically
you practiced actually. You know, we were sitting there for like 4 hours, five hours.
Can you imagine someone dozing and Swami giving darshan? Impossible. Impossible.
Swami said there is an invisible software put in by me, which takes care of each one according to his individual nature.
So Swami says what here also the same thing.
Can you ask for? It's not an ordinary place at all. As you keep saying, the most happening place in Mutaparthi. Each one according to his own nature goes through his yearnings and his difficulties, his rewards. Everything you get it here. Back to one place.
So here, as you go along, Swami very beautifully gives that example of the farmer. And Swami says how sad will the farmer feel if all the seeds he has planted do not sprout and they yield harvest, you know. And says, similarly, that is how painful it is for me also, Swami says.
Yes.
Like if I, you know, I sow all these seeds of wisdom, and if they don't turn up as good saplings, and if they don't give you that joy, if they don't result in a harvest of joy for you, then I also feel similar pain, Swami says.
He says, I'm 1,000 mothers' love. One mother's love is itself, we cannot understand. How can you understand 1,000 mothers' love? When we go through, we were as students, that time we didn't even need anything. But now as we undergo the life's trials and tribulations, and then you understand the meaning of what Swami meant actually. How we can get into this world and get entrapped in it. At that time only you realize the value of what is said by Swami.
Like, just to add to this, like, I remember one boy, Swami used to talk to him a lot. Like, I was quite close to me. Like, I used to talk to him. So he was always, there was only one thing, Swami should talk to me, Swami should talk to me, Swami should talk to me. So, and always that was what was always in his mind. So he will write letters and give it to Swami, and Swami will always respond. One day, like, when he gave the letter to Swami, Swami was very, very stern. And Swami told, it seems, Swami told him that the sapling has been planted. It is your duty to water it and make it a tree. I have done my job. Don't keep asking me, talk to me, talk to me, talk to me. Means, such a profound statement, means Swami coming and interacting with you or talking to you or giving you any small counsel or anything is like actually putting the seed and like planting the sapling already is over. Means we are listening to Sandeh Hinivarni, we are listening to his talks or his reading, his whatever writings he has given, or in any way listening to him in any satsang. Means already the sapling has been planted in all our hearts. He says it is your responsibility to actually water it and make it a tree of wisdom. Means when that day he told, like, it's so profound that it's not that only physically Swami talks to you or something. Even now we are having a satsang, we are talking about Swami here, we are discussing his principles. Means already he has, without our knowledge, planted the sapling. And then he says, same way, your effort is important. So our effort to actually, with Shraddha, with Bhakti, with practice, with experience,
yes,
make it into a tree of wisdom.
Absolutely. And once it becomes that tree of wisdom and gives fruits, that becomes the Lord's food.
Lord's food, correct.
Yeah.
And Swami says, thus if you act according to my words and put them into practice, I will gladly tell you more, no matter how many more things you may ask.
Correct. I keep telling you again and again, how many times you want.
And yes.
There are two things also here. At one point here, Swami says that, you know, if people come and ask me again and again, what is that to be said? Because if whatever I said just deteriorates and it just like is a stream in a desert, then what is the point of me telling you? Though Swami says that at one point, later on, Swami says that I will continue to keep saying.
Yes.
Swami says, I know, because the highest wisdom will dawn and ignorance will disappear at different times for different people. So Swami says that if you continue to sing again and again, then you will learn the song, right? So similarly, if I continue to speak, then the reality will be understood someday.
Someday
something will enter into you.
Swami also used to say that you will wonder, what is it that I am saying every time repeating the same thing? But only when it is repeated again and again, it goes into you.
Yes.
That is how, and it is bearing its fruit, I can
absolutely
be sure.
Oh
yes.
Yeah. I think even if you slept through Swami's discourse, you know, those words, they just entered your being, your subconscious mind.
We were all empty heads.
Empty heads.
We came as young children.
Yes.
We had empty heads. We no concepts, nothing was there in us.
Yes.
All we needed was to just, and it was very natural for us to run after him. And then we were just listening to him. All that sank into us and all this are bearing their fruits today.
Absolutely. Definitely, and I think that is the reason why, you know, if you go through the system of Sai education, if you're a student or if you go through Balvikas, you go through SSC, you know, at least all these concepts, you become familiar with them. All these words, for example, you know, when I think about it, you know, all these dictums of Bhagwan, you know, man minus desire is God, or ceiling of desires, or say, love in speech is truth, love in understanding is ahimsa. You know, at that point, we heard all these things. You know, we could memorize, and you know, we had, you asked me as a Balvikashal, 10 quotations of Swami, I will just rattle it out, you know. So, but at that point in time, okay, we thought we know. But what we knew then, continuously our knowing gets redefined as we age, as we go through life's experience. And many times it just comes that, oh my God, oh, this is what it means. This is what it means. This is what it means. This one. I mean, even though I heard that like 20, 30 years ago, but even now it continues to give me new meanings.
That's what I was recently thinking to myself, that this is the only God who makes us think about all these things. Any other, you know, normally any other God, temple if you go, just restrict God only to an idol.
Altar.
But here this God makes you think about the values, how to live. You are stuck for life actually. You are continuously thinking about how to improve yourself, how the transformation, the inner transformation. Once you are stuck, you are in his fold.
Absolutely.
For life.
Yes. And I think this, because spiritual concepts are like that. Spiritual concepts are deep. Spiritual concepts evolve as we evolve in our understanding. It is not as easy as understanding a theorem in mathematics or, you know, doing an experiment in chemistry. I think these concepts are as deep as the Lord himself. So they keep evolving as you evolve.
But you do the practice, continuity in the practice should be there.
Continuously the practice should be there. So I feel that is the reason why Swami kept repeating, and that's the reason why you have to continuously, whether you understand or not, just keep reading these texts. Whether you are getting the full import of what Bhagwan is saying, just listen to the discourse stream. You know, let those words just fall into, you know, your being. You know, whether you are, even the Vahinis, whether I'm understanding everything that Swami is telling, you know, but let me just read.
Read
a page, read a paragraph. But I think once you keep doing that, those things will just slowly come into you. And see, if you are fortunate to have gone through a Balvika SSC, then you would have at least become familiar with these ideas and words and everything in your childhood. But if you are getting introduced to this... Yes.
Sorry. Yeah.
No, I'm just saying, but if you get introduced to these words when you are 40s, when you are 50s, then, you know, you are just starting your journey, and by that time, you know, so you'll have... It is going to take time.
Correct.
I mean, of course, unless divine grace is there and it just clicks and you get it. But otherwise, because these concepts definitely take time to sink into you. And once it sinks into you, you start practicing. Then you have your own doubts. Then you refine your practice.
Swami says
the whole process
all
goes on.
There in you already.
Yeah, it's only
so
uncovering.
As you know, they come out through you, from your heart, then you understand that I know all this.
Yes.
So all these Sanskrit terms also,
yes,
they have a power also.
Oh yes.
As you hear them, they open up different layers and cells in our mind. And then our understanding widens by itself.
Yes.
If we don't have to know anything by definition. Once the core of our being is touched, from there everything flows.
Absolutely.
You will wonder yourself, from where did I learn all this?
You don't need to read books to understand all this.
You don't need to even be concerned, I don't know so many words Swami is using. I don't know this.
Yeah.
No need to know also.
No need to know also.
Everything comes from one source.
Comes. True.
The Vidya and the Avidya.
Yes, yes.
Anyway, but just add to you, when you said Balvikas, I had a very, very, very funny but very, very special, profound experience. Few days back, few Balvikas kids, they're just 4th, 5th class. We were just interacting with them. And then, very casually, few of us were there. We just asked, okay, what is the purpose in life?
Mm.
You know what, we'll expect what I want to become a doctor or engineer or this or that. In one word, in unison, there's some 5-6 kids were there.
Mm.
Moksha.
Oh my God.
Said, what is this?
Really?
5-6 boys and girls, 4th, 5th class.
Mm.
Moksha, sir. Wow, like, how you got this? No, sir, we want moksha. So the way you told, this sapling has been planted.
Yeah.
So after that, slowly you have to just
when you aim for the highest.
Aim for the highest.
Whether you know it or not, we'll see it later.
Just like I'm reminded of a primary school dramas. You know, if you hear any primary school dramas, you will find such fantastic dialogues. You know, you think, no, this kid would have definitely has not written it. Some teacher has written it, and he's rattling it out. And even the especially these little children when they speak in front of Swami, also it will be really the highest of truths. Actually, the highest of Veda. Vedantic concepts they will talk
and
about.
The confidence.
And they will talk in such beautiful language.
Mm.
So, you are enamored. You know that this guy definitely doesn't understand because he is like some 3rd grade or 4th grade student and he's just, but he's memorized it.
Yes.
Whether he's understood or not, but with full confidence he's just saying it.
But at that age, even with memorizing, I couldn't have said what they are saying.
I know.
That itself is a big blessing for them.
Yes.
And
but
even
but
the older generation people also, when they see children like this, they think, what good fortune they must have in having to be talking about these things so early in life.
Absolutely. In fact, I should just mention here, sometime back we had done this video of primary school children talking about the power of Gayatri Mantra that they have experienced.
Mm.
We had students from grade 4 and 5. In fact, I had gone to primary school to do conversations on different other topics. I just wanted to randomly ask 5 questions to all the kids and get their answers, just like you said about the purpose of your life. So similarly, I had a thought for some program. And I had no intention of doing anything to do with Gayatri Mantra, but when I was asking something about Swami, then one kid suddenly started talking about Gayatri Mantra. He said, I was one day this thing had happened, and I was thinking how to face Madam. Madam is going to definitely scold me for this. And so I just remembered Swami, and then I started chanting Gayatri Mantra. And once I started doing that, and when I went to my Madam, very surprisingly, Madam was very normal. He started, and this is how Swami helped me and all that, the one kid started, and I thought, people are already experimenting with Gayatri Mantra here.
Really?
And after that, then I got interested, and after that I asked a few more kids, and I was surprised that, every kid has some story about Gayatri Mantra.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said, I used to get 65% marks, and then I started chanting Gayatri Mantra, now I'm getting 95% marks and all that.
Really great.
So many stories. In fact, that video is there on the website, on Radio Sai YouTube channel. So it was very interesting. The reason I'm mentioning this is, after we uploaded the video, you had a lot of people who were very happy with, listening to those innocent hearts speaking about the efficacy of the Gayatri Mantra. But there are so few people who told me, they would have been told by the teachers to say this.
Mm.
And, so it's probably one of those things where
things are fixed.
Fixed, yeah. But actually, I was trying to hard to explain that it was not that actually.
Mm.
Why they were feeling like that? Because they're speaking with so much confidence.
Mm. In
each kid was actually speaking with so much confidence.
Mm.
So I felt that, even if it is staged, to find someone, actually it was absolutely extempore. I had not even told them what I'm going to ask them.
Yeah.
It was absolutely, they came, the camera was put on and I asked them the question.
Yeah.
And the confidence with which they were narrating these stories, it really bamboozled me. And as sir was telling, I don't know if when I was in fourth or fifth class, if I was able to even stand up and speak two complete sentences with confidence. And here are a generation of students.
Even on the veranda also, Swami used to ask, no, on one side you see the college students, and opposite to them are the primary school children seated. Then Swami will, very casually come towards the college boys and ask, where do you come from? He says, Swami, Jamshedpur or Delhi. Right? Swami will ask immediately, a small kid, where do you come from? Swami, from you.
From you.
And immediately Swami will point out, see the difference in your
Yes.
And it is, these are not a mere, they really mean it. Because they are taught that way.
Taught like that. You have come from Swami only.
Yes. You have come from Swami. Everybody has come. And then Swami will ask one VIP there sitting, a big person, where do you come from? He says, because he wants to hear that, you know, appreciative words from Swami. Swami, from you. Then even Swami will say, you are so big and I am so small. How can you come from? Just can't put a show with Swami.
Yeah, obviously. Never.
So when you have that, the upbringing and that initially in the childhood, in the formative years when things are fed to you, gives wonders. Bal Vikas or school, whatever you see.
Yes.
So those small things, if you are fed, the Swami told that boy, I have planted the sapling, it's up to you to make it a tree of wisdom.
You call the same child today, after maybe when he has grown up, and ask him what it means. He will have so much to tell about what.
Yes.
Because what he had said to Bhagavan will come back as a blessing for so much wisdom and light.
Absolutely.
And that helps you in life so much.
Yes. So I think it is for this reason that, you know, we should continue to keep doing these satsangs, just to keep listening, keep reiterating.
As you read.
Yeah, I think that is so important. A good company, the satsang, as Swami says, is always so important, because constantly you have to, because concepts also are so deep, and the concepts need constant reinforcement, because the world has so many pulls and pressures and attractions, and we have our own vasanas and tendencies. So I think for all that, it's so important that this good has to be reinforced again and again, again and again. And I think that is what tirelessly Swami did all these years. After having,
what he's telling here also.
Yes.
I want to do it again and again.
I want to do it again and again, again and again.
That's my job.
Swami says, it's not my mission to be silent. It is not my mission to be silent, even if people are not understanding. In fact, I used to feel that same, you know. I used to feel many times as a student in the school, Swami is speaking about all these concepts. Who is understanding all these concepts? You know, why? He is just speaking into empty air. It is just going into the horizon. We are not interested. We are only interested in after he finishes the discourse, I will go and give rose. I will get a photograph. You know, I will take a padnamaskar. That's all we are interested. You know, why is he speaking all these things? You know, where is it all going? You know, I used to feel like that. Well, nobody is understanding only all these things. But here Swami is telling, even if people are not understanding, it is not my mission to be silent. It must be communicated once, twice, and if necessary, any number of times. And I think
at the same time, if you are not listening to me, why should I talk? He says that also.
Yes. Just to let us know that, you know, how painful it is when we don't take those words and we don't enjoy that harvest of joy that Swami is saying. Then, you know, Swami says, then I am starving.
No, even that silence teaches us, no?
Yes.
His silence is not that silence. It's a very active silence.
Yes, absolutely.
So if you actually see the creation, it means the Lord Shiva, the Dakshinamurti, actually is silence only.
Yes.
So for our sake, he speaks. Otherwise, even in his, like when you told, I was just remembering that only. Swami speaks so much, but inside is complete silence. Whatever you speak, there is nothing. Inside is totally silent. There is nothing, nothing to actually even give him little bit of disturbance here and there. That's what Swami is.
Absolutely. Sat Chit Ananda inside. Silence. Wonderful. Thank you so much, brothers. I know time is running out. So we will have to call it a day. There's no end to these discussions. But I think, as I mentioned all the time, we just leave it for Bhagwan to see how he wants to steer this discussion, and whatever thoughts came, it is just one drop in the ocean of what you can make of what Bhagavan has written. And it is for all of us to read, all of us to contemplate and derive what Bhagavan wants to give us. What is the inspiration, what is the direction in our life that Swami has to give, that we have to establish that connect with Swami and take that message and make it a part of our life. So as always, if you have any queries, comments, please feel free. You can write to listener@radiosai.org. Send us your feedback on our WhatsApp number 9393258. Once again, 9393258258. Thank you so much for being with us. We'll continue with the second part of Chapter 4 in the coming week. Jai Sai Ram.